As we journey deeper into Lent, deeper into our journey of repentance and the contemplation of our fallenness, the story from Genesis that we're given to contemplate today is the story of the ongoing degeneration of mankind in the descendants of Cain, which culminates with the saying of Lamech to his two wives, first polygamist. He says, I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain is going to be avenged seven times, Lamech will be avenged 70 times seven. The reference is to what God said to Cain when Cain was complaining about his punishment for having killed his brother Abel. God first says to Cain, even before this, when Cain and Abel brought sacrifices to God, God, it says, honored the sacrifice of Abel and did not honor the sacrifice of Cain. The reason for that is not given, but whatever the reason, Cain was mad that God had not honored his sacrifice. And so God actually says to Cain at that point, before he murders Abel, gives him a solemn warning. He says, sin is waiting at the door to consume you. Don't let it do that. But instead, Cain allows sin to consume him and becomes the first murderer, killing his brother Abel. And then God exiles him, and Cain complains, this punishment is too much for me. Some people will seek me out and try and kill me for what I have done. And so God says to Cain, in his mercy, that if anyone does anything to Cain, God will avenge him sevenfold. Lamech, in his selfishness, as mankind has degenerated into more and more self-centeredness and selfishness, completely misunderstands what God is getting at here. God, protection of Cain was an act of mercy. Lamech's assertion to his wives is one of selfish vengeance. If Cain is going to be avenged seven times by God, Lamech is going to be avenged 77 times by, presumably, Lamech. In Lamech, we see the ultimate end of our selfishness and our self-centeredness. The antidote for it is given in the reading from Proverbs, which is to say, be content. Proverbs tells us in the reading today that we are to be content with what God has given us. More than that, the gospel reveals to us that we are to go beyond simply being content with what God has given us, although that in itself is a powerful antidote to, the grumbling and offense that Cain took to God. When God didn't give him the same blessing that he gave to Abel, or the ultimate selfishness of Lamech. But more than that, we are called to the hard work of forgiving. We are not called to vengeance. What God tells us to do is to forgive. Our Lord says in the Gospel, if your brother sin against you, go and tell him his fault. My grandfather wrote a poem about this, reflecting on this saying of our Lord's. He takes the story of David. You'll remember, of course, David and the story of David and Bathsheba, where he kind of turns it into a what-if scenario. What if Nathan the prophet thought to himself, I'm not going to be able to make David change his mind. Why should I bother to say anything? And he suggests in the poem that he sort of paints the scenario of what happens or what might happen after that. But David just keeps on sinning, keeps on descending further and further into sin, getting farther and farther away from God. But then he goes on, not so. The prophet actually heard the voice of God, he listened to him, and he went and told David that this was wrong. You're not supposed to do this. You need to repent, and thereby saved David. I think it illustrates for us part of the point of our Lord's words here. We see in this descent of mankind, in the descendants of Cain, this descent into selfishness, the same fracturing of relationships that afflicts us today. And our Lord's words are the antidote to this. Going beyond merely being content with what we have, our Lord says, look, the relationship between you and your brother is important, vitally important. If your brother sin against you, therefore, your job is to go and tell your brother his fault. Because your job is to rescue the relationship of love that is supposed to exist between you, yourself, and your brother. It's hard work. We don't like doing this sort of thing. But our Lord tells us to do it. This raises one more question. Going to our brother in this way presumes a relationship that is repairable. A relationship that is recoverable. What do we do when that does not exist? For there do arise times and circumstances where relationships are irretrievably shattered. There just is not time in this world to restore it. And here, the gospel again tells us that we need to forgive. Not simply for the sake of the relationship, but for our own spiritual well-being, for our own spiritual health. We are to forgive. We are not to descend into violence and vengeance. Neither the violence nor the vengeance of the physical sort, or of the more dangerous spiritual sort. Hatred, contempt, or even indifference. When we see these things in us as a result of our brothers or our sisters' sin against us, we need to examine our own hearts and to work on again and again, take up the hard work of forgiveness. And the tool that our Lord gives us here is the parable of the steward, the servant who was forgiven billions by his master. The tool that the church gives us, likewise, is this consideration of what we have been forgiven. We've just gone through the great canon of St. Andrew of Crete, where we reflect on all that we have been forgiven, where we think, where we consider ourselves the chief of sinners, the only sinner, and therefore the one who has been the recipient of immeasurable forgiveness. Our response needs to be the response that the ungrateful servant of the parable should have had. when he came across his brother who owed him money, his job was not to forgive, was not to choke his brother and to tell him to cough up what he owed. His job was to forgive, to remember what he had been forgiven. This is the tool that is given to us. Because as we do the hard work of repentance and realize the love, the mercy, the forgiveness of our Lord and God and Savior, our Master, to whom we owe this immeasurable debt, which he has completely forgiven, we need to turn around and do the same thing for our brother, our sister, and forgive from the heart. Freely you have received, says our Lord to his disciples. Freely give. And as we do this, the mercy of God is renewed. Seth is born. And people begin once again to call upon the name of the Lord. The glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.